nationally recognized speaker, facilitator, and author Steve Klein sits down with the most fascinating difference makers in Dallas-Fort Worth. Hear from top CEOs, local entrepreneurs, and key playmakers in business right now with your host, Steve Klein.
Benjamin Franklin said, "The secret of success is constancy of purpose." Hi, I'm Steve Klein, and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. In the studio today are two guests who do have constancy of purpose. Our first playmaker began his company by refurbishing telecom switching equipment in his son's bedroom, while our second playmaker helps medical staffing woes. With us today is a CEO of a company that has exceeded over, listen to this, 5,000% compounded growth since 2008, while our second playmaker has two companies in the healthcare staffing industry. His great playmakers are Andres Russo, he is CEO of Link America, and Joe Brunson. Joe is founder and CEO of Tusk Enterprises, and we're going to begin today's show with Joe. Joe Brunson relieves staffing woes of nearly 900 healthcare facilities across the nation with his Arlington-based Tusk Enterprises and his two companies, Rhino Medical Services and Hospitalists Plus. Rhino Medical Services was established in 2003 and started as a staffing firm focused on the anesthesia industry and is now a multi-million dollar operation with temporary and permanent staffing solutions for a number of different medical specialties. Rhino Medical Services' success inspired the launch of Hospitalists Plus in 2011, which provides temporary and permanent staff of physicians for the relatively new specialty that focuses on caring for hospitalized patients. Joe, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you, Steve. It's great to be here.
I am glad you're here, and I want to find out more about Tusk Enterprises and your two companies. But first question is, how did a business administration major get recruited into the healthcare staffing industry?
Well, so it's interesting. I was working at a brokerage. A colleague of mine, when interviewed for this healthcare staffing position, I had no idea the industry even existed. He didn't get the job, but he recommended that I go interview, and then the rest is history.
So it was just a matter of going on an interview?
It really was. It lasted about six hours.
Into it. So right. Apparently, being in that helped develop the passion to help you develop a couple businesses, is that right?
That's absolutely correct.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. You have Tusk Enterprises as an umbrella for your two industries, or your two companies. One of them is called Rhino Medical. So Rhino and Tusk goes together.
Sure.
Let's talk about Tusk. Where did Tusk come from?
So Rhino Medical Services was started just by the name Rhino as being very thick-skinned and difficult to deviate from its path. I wanted a logo that really stood out. And then, of course, Tusk really fits in well with the Rhino logo, and that became the parent company.
Okay, so we have Rhino and Tusk, and very easy to remember.
Right.
Well, you have offices, two of them here in Texas, one in Arlington, one in Amarillo, and now you have a third office in Tulsa.
Correct.
Are you planning on expanding more or just using those three offices?
We're definitely going to expand more. We're really going to go where the market dictates. Right now, for the next year, it's going to be those three offices.
By the way, the websites for Joe's two companies are rhinomedical.com. And for his second one, it's hospitalistsplus.com. And I'm going to spell that because I can't pronounce it real well. I start lisping when I do that. It's hospital with IST, hospital lists, and then PLUS plus.com. How did Rhino Medical staffing begin?
Well, really, it was just like any entrepreneur starting a business, there was a need in the marketplace. We are an extension of a hospital's medical staff office, so there was a need for anesthesia providers, and we really filled that need for them. That way, the hospital personnel could focus on what really matters at a hospital, which is patients.
Well, from having an anesthesiologist in the family, my uncle, and knowing a little bit about the medical service, it's one of the most important parts of an operation, and people don't think about it that much.
Right.
So that was where you began. I didn't realize it was that difficult finding anesthesiologists.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, an ER or OR, excuse me, that is not designed an anesthesia provider there is losing, could be $10,000 a day by not providing surgeries, not to mention these patients that aren't getting the surgeries they require.
So is there still a shortage for anesthesiologists?
Absolutely. There's definitely a shortage.
make a note if you are listening that if you are not out of school yet, you might want to go to medical school and work toward being an anesthesiologist. You added other services along the way. Tell us about some of those.
Right. So in 2008, 2009 is what I really refer to as the Great Depression of healthcare staffing. So if you're going to survive after 2008 and 2009, you really needed to work in as many specialties that needed providers as you could. So that's where we really expanded into Hospitalist Plus, which is a niche staffing company that only focused on hospitalist medicine.
Okay. So now you're covering almost everybody that they need
through those two. Correct.
Well, you started Rhino Medical Services in 2003. How long did you have the idea before you actually began the business? And then once you got the business going, tell us what happened to get it going.
About a year going into it, I had the idea of it. And honestly, I mean, like most entrepreneurs, if I would have known now what I knew then, I'm not sure that I would have went ahead and done that. But it's been a great journey for us. And going forward from 2003 to 2009, like you said, it was solely anesthesia. Now we're into other specialties, and now we're in growth mode.
So my guess was when you started Hospitalist Plus, it was a little easier to get that going after having started one other business.
That's exactly right. We've already made the mistakes, so we don't make them again.
Well, one of the pieece of information I received from you was about visualization and goal setting. Now,
right.
Talk a little bit about that as it pertains to your business. How does that tie into it? Because that's something that I work with my clients on. How did that help you build your business?
It helped immensely. Essentially, what we do is I personally sit down with each one of my staff members on a yearly basis, and we actually write out goals. So typically, writing out goals, we've all done it. We've all written out goals, and then we amend those throughout the year. In this aspect, I truly walk them through the steps of visualizing where they're going to be at the end of the year, from very detailed points to what kind of shoes they're going to be wearing, where they're going to live, who their friends might be. So we can really have them imagine that they are that person at the end of the year. And it's not just within business, it's with personal, it's with spiritual goals. So it really covers everything.
Well, you are helping your staff not only achieve what they need to achieve professionally, but also help them achieve personally.
Right, which helps with the turnover.
That's what I was going to get to next. When you are so involved with what your staff is doing, they don't want to leave, and you're helping get what they want to get too.
That's exactly right.
How did you get started with that?
How did
you learn it?
Napoleon Hill is where I learned that. Think and Grow Rich, of course, was the catalyst to doing it. And then I'd done it for myself for years, and I thought, why not expand this into the entire staff?
For those who have never heard of Napoleon Hill or read his book, his famous book, Think and Grow Rich, came out in 1928. Mm-hmm. And it was basically the key steps from a book he wrote earlier called The Law of Success, mm-hmm. which he spent 20 years writing as a result of Andrew Carnegie working without pay to put all together and interview a number of successful people. Very few people have I run into that purchased and read that book on their own. Was it somebody that recommended it to you, or how did you find out about Napoleon Hill?
I guess I had a mentor. That definitely recommended if I read one book in my life, that is the book to read.
Absolutely. It gets you moving in the right direction. Correct. So apparently goal setting, visualization, detailed goal setting and visualization have helped you build your business.
Yeah, absolutely correct. The next step beyond that is charitable actions for us. So we have two charities per year that we do that the internal staff really creates.
And let's talk about that too, because your people get – you have your entire company involved in the charity aspect too, and you want to give back – because you're taking and you want to give back to
That's
these
correct.
Students. Let's talk about the charities you work with and how you work with them, how you get your people involved.
Right. So the first charity we work with is A Wish With Wings, which is a Texas-based company that works with children who have life-threatening diseases from Texas. And we do barbecue tasting cook-offs and chili tasting cook-offs. We'll invite different people from the community to come and be guest judges. And the staff really rallies around that and sends these kids to Disney World and grants wishes for whatever they may have.
What's the other one?
The other one is North Texas Food Bank. And that's a new one for us this year. We're going to start that in May.
So you change your charitable organizations each year?
We do, yes. So Wish With Wings we did a few times. Mm-hmm. And now we're moving to the North Texas Food Bank. But we always do the rib tasting and we always do the chili cook-off.
Well, if you're going to help charitable organizations, you might as well do something that's fun for you too.
Right.
To tie all this together. So, how does your staff get involved? Do they want to do this?
Absolutely. So, I really have a staff meeting when we're getting ready to ramp up into the charity event, and then we will hire a project manager from internally within the staff, and then they create it. So all I have to do is really judge.
It makes your life a lot easier, especially right. when you're delegating to some of your people too. Let's talk about your business because, again, you have Rhino Medical Services and Hospitalist Plus. What makes your business stand out from the competition? What makes you different?
I would say absolutely the lack of turnover. We have a very high turnover industry. So for our clients, which is our hospitals and our physicians that work with us to talk with the same people on a very consistent basis as they weave through their career path is extremely important to them.
What, as you've gone along, as you've been in business for a little over 10 years and you have two companies now, you have little turnover because you work with your staff on visualization and goal setting. What has been one thing that you can point to either in your career or in your life that everything changed? We really figured out where you're going and how you want to get there.
Yeah, I absolutely knew when that was. That was 2009. That was coming out of what I refer to as that Great Depression of healthcare staffing. And it was investing into the individual people that we had in our firm. So that was the number one thing, is showing that not only are we here to weather the storm, but we're also here to grow, and we're here to grow together. And that was it.
That's tremendous. Well, one of the things that has happened nationally is Obamacare, and that's apparently affecting your industry. Tell us how it's affecting what you're doing.
Well, as everyone knows, there is a lot more individuals coming on onto the healthcare platform and receiving services. So for us, it seems that we would become extremely busy with trying to find physicians for an already shortage of physicians in our country. But really what it's doing is it's having us isolate even further and screen even better so our candidates, our physicians, can go out and serve these patients' needs. So we are really ratcheting down on what we're doing.
It's amazing how you've developed this from nothing and developed and found that need and made it work. It's just amazing.
Thank you.
Well, you've had a lot of success over the last more than 10 years. What would you want to share to listeners that are business owners, entrepreneurs, or want to be entrepreneurs that would help them become successful?
I would say to continue to reinvest definitely in their people. This is a relationship business for me, and for most entrepreneurs, they are in the relationship business no matter what they sell. So investing into their people is the number one thing. And sometimes that takes a little bit to learn to do that, to invest and reinvest and continue to develop those relationships. But once it's done, it will pay you back a hundredfold.
You're in the staffing business. You find individuals for hospitals, and apparently you're using your own secrets with your own business too. You're finding people and keeping them. I'm sure that's what you do with the hospitals you work
for sure.
with too. Find
for
the
sure.
right people and keep them.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the key. That's the name of the game.
Joe, thank you very much for being on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Joe Brunson is the founder and CEO of Tusk Enterprises, but the names you want to remember are Rhino Medical Services, and you can check them out at rhinomedical.com. You also may want to go to hospitalistplus.com. Check them out, too. Again, Joe Brunson, he is CEO of Tusk Enterprises. Don't go away. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to an individual who is the CEO of Link America. His name is Andres Russo. And what's interesting about Andres is his business was doing very well, and then it dropped. But since 2008, he's had a 5,000% plus increase. Stay with us. We're going to find out more about that right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
I'm Jill Cumnock, CEO of the Ronald McDonald House of Dallas, which is the house that love built. Your support helps provide a home away from home for the families of seriously ill or injured children who come to Dallas area hospitals for medical treatment. Your gift, regardless of the amount, supports RMHD families so that they can focus on what really matters, their child's healing. That's why at Ronald McDonald House we say, there is strength in numbers and it starts with you. For more information, visit rmhdallas.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. I am Steve Klein. Thank you for staying with us. Our guest this segment is Andres Russo. Andres was born in Lima, Peru, and he came to the United States in 1980 to pursue a career in engineering at Texas A&M. He moved to Houston and started his entrepreneurial career buying an ownership position into an exploration oil company. In 1992, he moved to Dallas to develop opportunities for refurbished telecom products and services in the USA and Latin America. 2 years later, he started Link America, a technology company to refurbish and upgrade large switching systems for the telephone companies. Since 2008, Link America has experienced an exponential revenue growth that has catapulted the organization becoming the 2012 number one fastest Hispanic growing business in the nation. He has experienced a 5,117% compounded growth since 2008. We're going to find out about that in a few moments. Link America is providing services to several OEMs and carriers, including Fujitsu Networks, Dart, and AT&T. Andres, thank you very much for being a guest on Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Reading all about you is extremely interesting, and we're going to get into that. But the first question I want to ask you, because your company is called Link America, is why are you called Link America?
Well, as you know, I'm Peruvian by birth and Texan by choice, and I came from Peru in 1980. So as I got my engineering degree and then I started my first company, I said, what is really my purpose and what is my why, right? And I realized that providing solutions end-to-end within the Americas, first United States and then Latin America. And now I can tell you that we are linking America. We are in Costa Rica, we are in Colombia, we are in Mexico, and we're opening offices in other countries. So that's the goal, to link the Americas. One America.
One America, pulling everybody together.
Yes,
and you have a staff in how many offices?
We have three offices, the main offices in Costa Rica, Colombia, and Mexico, and now in the U.S., in Texas.
Well, let me ask what Link America does, because we're going to talk a little bit about how you were, I guess, as you talk about, a fat cow, then became a skinny cow, then a fat cow again, more or less. But tell us about what a Link America does, because I went to your website, which is linkam.com, and you really have three lines of businesses. Tell us what you do now, then we'll go back to how you started.
Fantastic. Well, what we do now is we have a unit called Warehouse Management Solutions, where we supply just-in-time equipment, rack and stack, kitting to large carriers. It's a big volume, kind of low margin, but huge volume business. We support them on a daily basis with thousands and thousands of shipments and kits and other rack and stack equipment. We have another division that does networks for first response communications, police, fire, and EMS. We build networks for them, radio networks, two-way networks that are privately held by them, right? And then we have a managed services division that does all this international stuff that I was talking to you about, where we do service support, service solutions to different carriers also. So they call, for example, my phone company, a number in Dallas, and Costa Rica answers, and they don't even know it's in Costa Rica. And they say, you know, so, may I help you? You know, depending on the carrier that we use.
So you're working with telecom companies all throughout the Americas.
Yes, we are. We are very engaged, but mostly we're thinking about, we really believe that we're a company that looks north-south. Unfortunately, for the last 30 years, we've been looking east-west. And I really believe that China, the relationship with China and India, being good in some cases with China, I think we have a vicious cycle, because we export them about $200 billion, I think, a month. And $100 billion a month we export to them, and they export us $400 billion a month. So every year you have $3.6 trillion of our wealth, and I consider myself American now, going to China. With South America, it's the opposite. We're connected, you know, geographically. It's near shore, it's not offshore. It's same time zones with 2 hours of difference. So I can service from these three locations the whole nation, and fully bilingual, and we're totally capable. And we're competing now with the Indian and Chinese in terms of pricing and costing. And so we're exceeding expectations from the customers. Also helps immigration, because my guys stay there, and I am exporting their mind. It's the knowledge economy. It's the future. So I am an agent of change. We say linking, we are an agent of change. We're keeping them down there, training them and educating them, which is what emancipates us from being a third world country.
Well, there are some third world countries south of here, and I've worked with the automobile industry, and the growth for the automobile industry is in Central and South America. There are so many more people gaining income to be able to buy, so it's apparently a growth area for you.
And it's a virtual cycle, because what happens is my guys, when I bring my engineers here, some of them even drive cars down to Costa Rica. I mean, they buy all of Best Buy, and you know, they go to buy all the gadgets they need. So it's interesting, because we're creating a middle class economy that now becomes consumers. And Latin Americans love to buy polo shirts, Levi's jeans, and Nike tennis shoes, American products, American movies, and they just need money. And now they're making money, so they buy more products, and then by selling more products, they give us more services. So we're trying to ride that virtuous cycle. The government still doesn't see us as a strong player, because they still think in some way third world countries. But in reality, you look at Peru, 6% average growth on GDP in the last 14 years. Chile, Costa Rica, I mean, all of them are growing. So great opportunity for us to become agents of change.
Well, this didn't happen overnight. Let's go back to where you came to Dallas in 1992, came to the United States in 1980, but you started your business in 1994, and as I mentioned earlier, you began by refurbishing telecom switching equipment in your son's bedroom.
That's true.
And then that all changed. Tell us about how you started and the fact that you went from product equipment to services.
Well, that's interesting, because, you know, I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur, and when I graduated from Texas A&M as an engineer, I tried to find a job and I couldn't get somebody to hire me. So I had to start companies. So I've done like 18 startups. And it was interesting, because Link America was kind of like, I was trying to look for a large ticket item, repetitive sales and no competition. And then I saw telecom and I dived into it. We started refurbishing because we saw that the OEMs were not paying attention to the repair. The market was growing so fast. I mean, handhelds, remember? I mean, you were my age. You know, we didn't have any Motorola handhelds or smartphones in 1980. I mean, that was the new thing. So we rode that wave, and on the landline stuff, we saw an opportunity to take repair work and maintenance and end of life from large OEMs. We were very successful. So for 7 years, I called them my fat cows. We went from nothing to three buildings to 100 people to you know, all product sales, right? We put labs so that when we sell something, we tested it and we know that it's working. But it was easy to make money. 2001 comes, we got the dot-com bust, which was hard. And then we had 9/11, which we all remember. It was so difficult. And then long-distance customers were falling off, because now the internet was making long-distance not a business, but it was just giving it for free. So $6 million of my business went down.
And you were doing about $12 million in business in 2001. 2001. So you lost half of your business.
Half in a year.
And you also lost a lot of employees too.
Yeah. Well, in those 7 years, 2001 to 2008, we reinvented ourselves four times. We got into, you know, design of fiber optic with Fios, with Verizon. We did all kind of different things, putting towers and antennas for mobility. And finally, you know, in 2008, when I had to take some decisions, because we even started doing manufacturing for prototypes and end of life, because we bought some products and we had intellectual property. We had to sell those assets. And that's when I had the loss. And then for a year, I went from 100 people to five. I went from four buildings to one. And seven times in 7 years, I didn't pay myself. One time for 6 months, just to keep the lights on. A friend of mine was telling me, Andres, you have to stay in the game to be in the game. So just stay in the game. And thank to God, and thank to my faith, which is my shield and my sword, I was able to make the transition in 2008, get a partner that believed on my vision. And we went from fat cows to skinny cows. Now I'm gonna say lean bulls, and it became really holy cows, because holy cows, I didn't know I can go from 2 million to 215 million in sales.
Holy cow! And you went back in 2007, close to bankruptcy. You were talking about some of the dollars. You went from 100 employees to five, but you were $3 million in debt.
I was.
And one of the things I talk to people about is the fact there's only two ways to fail in life: don't start, and quit. You started, you didn't quit.
That's right. But what keeps me going, it's my faith in the future, because that gives me power in the present, right? At the dark, you know, the entrepreneurial world is not for everybody. You know, I admire what my friend here is doing, because, you know, we have to, it's purpose-driven people, and it's not always downhill and sunny and nice and straight. It's uphill and sometimes scary and wet and dark. And you have to have inner strength that comes from my faith, in my case, that has been my shield and my sword through the years.
Well, we've talked about your business, how you were doing well, you lost a lot, you've come back again. But apparently you have a three-part business promise: value co-creation, collaboration, innovation. This is apparently what's made your business successful. Talk a little bit about that.
I love that, because those are my drivers. That's kind of like our mantra, right? First, collaboration. We believe that nobody has a complete solution. And in this age, because of the life cycle of the supply chain, in the past a switch used to take 15 years. Now it's 9 months. I mean, look at an iPhone 4, iPhone 5. Every 9 months, they obsolete the next one.
It just goes very quickly.
So you have to collaborate. You have to, you know, find people that think like you, that understand that 2 plus 2 can be 20, right? They are multidimensional to help you grow. Second, innovation. You have to constantly innovate, constantly. We are on our toes. What keeps me up at night is how much value can I bring to my customer tomorrow? Right. That's constantly. And how do I focus that on two things? I look at the incremental sales on their revenue. So bringing them opportunities of new business for technology together, partnering, or driving cost out of their supply chain or their SG&A or operations. If I do one of those two, I increment the net profit. If I do two of those two, I kill two birds with one stone, which is what we want to do. Right. I tell my guys, let's align three birds and kill them with one stone. Why waste the stone? Right? Because time is of essence.
That's right. Well, Andres Russo, it was a pleasure having you on. Going from something to nothing to something, you've done the right things. And bottom line is, you're taking care of your customers. And that's what made it work. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Andres Russo is the CEO of Link America. And you can find him on his website, which is linkam.com. My name is Steve Klein. This is Playmakers Talk Show. Don't forget, you can always get all the information about our future guests and past guests on PlaymakersTalkShow.com. And also, check our show. It'll be on the website a few days after the show airs. Again, PlaymakersTalkShow.com. My name is Steve Klein. See you again next week.
Who will Steve be interviewing next? Find out on Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein every Friday afternoon at 3 on 770 KAAM. Hear this interview again by going to Steve's website, PlaymakersTalkShow.com.